suspend rules. Committee on Rules Administration will come to order. Members, first item on the agenda is a Senate File 351. It's here pursuant to Rule 21. Two bills have come out of the Government Operations Committee that I had noticed, or my staff had noticed, and I Rule 21 both of them. One was related to rules and open meetings in the legislature, which clearly needed to come here. We dealt with that in the joint rules, some of that in the joint rules. This bill, though, you see, deals with individual may not act as a lobbyist after leaving the legislature or acting for office as a commissioner. It's not clear that that bill had to be here.
Did it what?
It's not clear that bill has to be in the rules committee. And so it's just my sense that I inadvertently Rule 21 that, unless someone sees an argument why that should have been here. So I'm not talking about the merits of the bill. I'm just saying I'm not sure that that was an appropriate Rule 21. I don't know that that needed to go anywhere else.
They're going to take it off of here then or something?
Well, I'm suggesting we just vote to send it to the floor.
Without recommendation.
Without recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, the normal motion would be to adopt the previous committee report. That is, state and local government had a recommendation that the bill go to the floor.
I would move that.
Now, I don't believe there's any other committee that bill is supposed to go to. That's what Rule 21 is for. I just, I don't see that that bill needs to go to another committee. Does anybody else? Okay, so we have the Berglund motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Senator, let's do Senator Torres Ray's bill. Is she here for anything? And I wonder if we could handle this without her. She's what? Oh, let's see if she's here. While we're waiting to see if she's here, the next item we're going to take up is the Senate Permanent Rules, and we pretty much finished all of that except for how we were going to deal with Rule 7. And I've got a proposed amendment, 815, to Rule 7 that I would like to offer or have offered. And so you might want, well, let's wait 1 second to see if Torres Ray is close. So start looking at that. I think this rule was sent out a couple days ago. I talked to one of those members about it. Why don't we start, Senator? Not there. Okay. So let's do the permanent rules then.
So I'll move adoption.
Senator Berglund moves the A15. Discussion.
What? A15.
A15. We've all pretty much agreed that the budget target rule or budget resolution rule that we had has not been very effective.
I don't
so
have
this
it.
So this proposal is to repeal it. It says that 15 days before the deadline for divisions on the Committee of Finance to act favorably on omnibus bills, the targets will be announced.
Okay, I had this.
We've already,
I had
this year we bested the 15 days. We've done better than that. But this then would assure that everybody knew.
Sorry, thank you.
Appropriations and Finance Committees. And then A15 is kind of a reworking of some language that is in Rule 7 currently. And it basically says you have to, amendments to budget bills under the tax bill, the omnibus bills, have to balance within the bill. In other words, if you would like to make a different choice on a budget reduction, on budget spending, reductions are fine. You could vote to reduce spending in a bill and leave money on the bottom line. But if you're trying to spend money, you would have to figure out how to spend the money within the bill. It's basically what that rule says. Senator Ferris.
Mr. Chairman, I'm speculating if you just reduce the spending in the bill before 5 minutes, there would be members
drafting amendments to spend the money that was reduced.
I think, Senator Cohen, that's likely, isn't it? If somebody actually reduces spending, somebody will figure out a way to spend it. Senator Berglund?
We're trying to prevent that this
well,
year.
Well, you know, I've had a very interesting observation this year, and that is that it's much easier for the administration to get fiscal notes done on spending bills than it is on savings bills. Yeah. You know, we keep complaining about not getting fiscal notes, and they'll say, well, we gave you four today. And I say, yeah, but they're four that spend money. I mean, what good does that do me?
That isn't the problem.
Yeah, so I think it's easier for everybody on that score, really.
Okay, does everybody understand? Senator Centrum.
Mr. Chair, and to anyone that could answer, maybe even counsel, one of the things that, matter of fact, I think maybe Senator Olson brought it up some years ago when I was really new and naive around here. I probably still am, but the idea that when an omnibus bill comes to the floor, at least most often from the standpoint of the party, you really don't have many options to amend it, and particularly you don't have, you know, if for instance you believe we ought to spend more in public safety than we want to in the environment, we have no ability at that point to even offer up an amendment that is proper to do that. It seems to me, I mean, that we understand that's the way it is. I don't know if it's the right way. Now, obviously, we all know that. But for many members,
nobody could do it real
quick. Like
I got to go to one of your
levels.
One thing I always do.
Well, I guess my observation would be that,
you know what, that bring
part of the rule that has the Committee on Finance approving targets would be the place to have that discussion.
And of course, you know what that is. Back away.
Public safety, use your example, is too low, and some of the environments are too much. That would be a place to be having that discussion, not after the target being set and the bills are on the floor to appropriate the money.
College?
No.
High school? Grade school?
The process would be the targets are announced. Targets, so, Berger, the way this is set up, the targets are announced.
Oh, yeah. I still do that.
But in the Finance Committee,
right,
people can move those around. They can do whatever they want, try to do whatever they want, right, in the Finance Committee. But by the time it came out of the Finance Committee, then you have to on the floor. This would only affect the floor. Internal to the budget. But in the Finance Committee,
I've been saying Neil is going to write the police corrective.
Amendments in the Finance Committee use money to make divisions.
That was just my point.
Right. I think there's never an official adoption of the targets.
Yeah. We just get big titles. We don't get big.
But they become effective as the targets once those bills come out of the Finance Committee. They just become effective. You announce them. That's presumably what everybody's working on. But in the Finance Committee, they still can alter those targets with a vote, moving it from one budget to another.
Mr. Chairman, and they should be balanced in total.
Yes.
To the bottom line.
Yeah, presumably the Finance Committee would do that. But this does restrict, Senator Centrum, this is correct.
Right.
On the floor, you would have to do your work internal to that bill. That is true. Yeah.
But there would be something that happens in the Finance Committee itself.
Absolutely.
Where that would be an opportunity.
Senator President, the rule just states that the general fund targets of the general fund budget must be publicly announced. It doesn't specify who's going to announce them, who has the responsibility to announce them. Is that deliberately ambiguous, or should it be made?
Yes. It's deliberately ambiguous because typically what happens is the majority leader and the it's left ambiguous because we're saying an ambiguous power structure.
Mr. Chair, there's nothing that says the minority couldn't announce it.
I don't mind the ambiguity of the power structure. We are a collaborative body, a group of 67 equals.
Skeptic might say elusive. But
elusive, yes. What I have learned, though, and I think Sarah Cohen will take this with some fun. If there's any bad decisions, usually I get blamed for them.
Add into the rule.
Put that in the yeah.
Hogemiller's fault.
That seems to be kind of how it all goes. I noticed the other day that there was a blog or an article saying that I had engineered a bill in the Judiciary Committee. I never heard of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. And I left a note with the reporter that he gave me way too much credit because I didn't even know they were talking. Matter of fact, I read it over my coffee, too. So, anyway, yeah, it's intentionally ambiguous.
Mr. Chair, if the minority caucus, at least in the political framework of our day, wanted to take the governor's targets and announce them, yeah. Would they be the targets?
if you'd want to do that.
Yeah. Well, that would be, Senator Sengen, very good. If something like that happens, we may have to revise the because well, we have two sets. No, I think the bottom line, the targets in effect for the rule on what page 3 are whatever comes out of the Finance Committee. Those are the targets. The announcement of targets is to give people a heads up prior to a Finance Committee work about what somebody thinks those are going to be, because that's what the division chairs are actually doing. And so, but the actual ultimate setting of those happens by what comes out of the Finance Committee.
Mr. Chair, there's no reason why you couldn't have varying targets that are announced.
That may be a good way to engage the debate in the Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the end of the world. It may not be done, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. And you haven't made a law or a rule against it.
In true Senate tradition, nobody in the Senate actually gets to announce anything until you've got the votes. It doesn't matter. So, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, far be it for me to give away authority to the Finance Committee, but I do want to point out in the rule, the Tax Committee is mentioned as well.
Exactly. So I suppose you have this, how do you resolve the balance between taxes and finance? Well, how do we do that?
With care. I'm
not quite sure how that happens either, but it happens somehow.
Played the fiddle.
Well, in the old days, we would always try to pin down the tax chairman as best we could, which was at times elusive.
You know, this may be of interest to the minority, but, you know, we always go through this dance where the Finance Committee is putting together its targets, and they've kind of had an inkling about where we're headed, and then they asked the tax chair to come to their meeting. And the tax chair then usually refuses to come to their meeting because the tax chair knows why they're asking for him or her.
I've never been on the Commerce Committee.
So,
is there another senator also?
How it gets set between the two of them is a mystery to all of us. Okay, on the burden of
the Senate. She's not on there either.
Well, Mr. Chair, one thing will obviously, when this gets to the floor, I suspect troubling to the minority would simply be that the deadline is completely up to the majority to decide. And right now, as I believe we have it, the whole issue of targets and when they are triggered works off the governor's announced budget. For instance, this year, I think we did it on the 27th of January. And according to the current rules, then 44 days thereafter, according to the rules, the targets are announced through a Senate resolution. That concept of working off a statutory requirement of the governor is lost in all of this, and it would be completely up to the majority to decide at any time when their deadlines are going to be. The deadline triggers the targets here, as I read.
But Senator Sengen, I don't believe there's a requirement when the governor. When does the governor have to give this? I don't think there is a statutory requirement.
Mr. Chairman, there's a statutory requirement for the governor to give us his first budget in January. But the rule here, Rule 7, as you'll see on lines 1.6 and 7, is tied not to that first budget in January, but it's tied to the revenue forecast, the last revenue forecast, which is going to be toward the end of February or March 3rd, as it was this year. But there's no requirement for the governor to submit a revised budget after that February forecast. Usually does. Senator?
Well, and Mr. Chairman, and that process doesn't have any deadline. I mean, we've gotten change requests in conference committee from the governor's office. And when they presented their supplemental budget in my division, they said there would be more coming. When it would be coming wasn't clear. So, you know, everything is sort of in flux all along in regards to what the governor is recommending or doing. Obviously, we can't be in flux forever. But I'll use the example of this year with the stimulus money. You know, if we had a hard and fast date for setting targets when this money is coming and we don't exactly know how it's going to affect each budget, you know, we might be required then to set targets prematurely in terms of, you know, actually making a rational decision based on all the revenue that's available for each year of the budget.
I think we would think that this has probably gone from then maybe somewhat ambiguous to totally ambiguous as far as our understanding of the deadlines. They are completely up to the majority. There's nothing that I know of that directs the majority to go out for deadline dates except their own willingness to do that at a time certain age size.
Mr. Chairman, Joint Rule 2.03 on deadlines does require the legislature to adopt by concurrent resolution deadlines for each session. And it's pursuant to that Joint Rule 2.03 that the House and Senate did adopt a concurrent resolution earlier this year setting those deadlines. So there's not a statute that says what the deadlines are going to be. The deadlines are set each year by a concurrent resolution of the two bodies, but the joint rules require that to happen. Although sometimes it's not happening, although there's a disagreement.
Exactly. And I would say that at least since I've been in Georgia, and Speaker Keller has been, we've actually moved those up. It seems to be actually working pretty well this year. I remember when we first moved these policy deadlines up, it was like, but it seems like things are a little better this year in terms of, now I suppose we'll hear next week something different. So, we have the burden of the motion. Senator St. John.
Mr. Chair and Sir Counsel, is within 2.03, are there any date requirements relative to the deadlines? I should have looked that up.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, no. 2.03 says there shall be deadlines, and the first deadline is for committees to complete action on bills in the House of Origin. The second deadline is for committees to complete action on bills in the other body. And then there's a third deadline for appropriation bills. But dates are not.
Okay. We have the Berglund motion before us. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion adopted. So, Metzen, the President, would you like to move the whole shebang here?
Sure.
We've
sure.
got the incorporation of all the things we have
yeah, discussed we've,
earlier.
The ones we've done, yeah,
yes,
prior.
We have
yes,
made
I would.
Earlier, and Mr. Watson, you just want to go through those real quick, the changes we have made to the, in addition to Rule 7 then? Well, we can look through real quick.
Yeah, just look through them. I've got a very important
Chairman,
meeting next door.
Rule 8 relating to confirmations.
Page 6.
Stale confirmations don't have to be withdrawn from the committee. Change to Rule 12.3 saying that a bill should not be considered on the day it's introduced except with a vote of two-thirds of the members of the committee, change rule 18.1, moving the order of business of introduction and first reading of Senate bills up to the eighth order of business. Just before motions and resolutions. Change the rule 41.1, that the requirement to vote on a roll call if in the chamber applies also in the committee of the whole, omission and clarification. And then a change to rule 53.1, saying that the Senate budget must be posted on the Senate website.
That's fine, I'll move.
Senator Metzen moves adoption of the rules, SCR 008, with the 15 amendment. Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nope.
Motion adopted. Okay, what is right here, or no? Well, let's see if we can do this without the author. This is an extension of the Ethnic and New Americans Working Group, is it? A commission shall, it's a commission apparently. This commission is supposed to collaborate with other councils, and this is an extension for 2 years.
And, Mr. Chairman, does this commission have funding? Does it affect the budget?
Pardon?
Does this commission have funding? Does it affect the budget to extend it?
I don't know. I think we're going to wait.
It does may. Mr. Chairman, it does, in current law, may provide compensation for public members as provided by the law.
Senator Malazan is a co-op. Oh, there she is. Senator Clutter.
There she is. There she is.
Senator, I'm sorry, I just got here. Senator Berglund left later, and I'm here.
We have Senate File 185 in front of us. This is a two-year extension of the council, and the first question was, does this have a fiscal impact? Does this need to go to the Finance Committee, or has it already been to the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chairman, it is not.
Does it need to be there?
I'm looking at it.
It's LCC budget, presumably. Is there staff for the council?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman,
so
there is.
Appropriate motion then would be to the Finance Committee.
I believe so.
I think typically it should have gone to finance and then here, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to worry about that later.
I also move the referral to the finance.
Well, it came out of local state local government.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make sure. My understanding was that the issue of funding will be looked at kind of collectively with other groups that currently exist. And so that was one of the reasons this particular group was not separated from the rest of the other advisory committees that exist today. So that was my understanding, that you will be looking at all groups at this point.
Let's take some testimony from the LCC.
Sure. Sally Kidd with the LCC. And I think the funding, I'm just the staff from the LCC, that staff.
Not just the staff.
But I believe the funding just comes out of the LCC contingency fund. And members do get per diem, but just out of the LCC. Not too many people have taken per diem, though.
Is there staff?
Just me.
Okay, so there's no...
No specific. No dedicated
just
staff,
me.
No.
Yes, this
so
is
just
a
per diem
one
and
group.
Mileage, basically.
Yes.
Senator Berglund, does that alter your thinking on this?
Well, I still Mr. Chairman, I think just to play it safe, I mean, the one catch is that obviously we've always handled the Senate budget and the legislative budget a little bit differently than we've handled other budgets. We don't have we'll have a line item. We'll have line items in Senator Betzel's division bill. I know Senator Betzel's trying to be careful about circumventing his division. I think maybe to play it safe, okay, we should at least have Senator Betzel get the opportunity to take a look at it.
Okay.
I would not imagine any substantive work done in the full committee, but at least have Senator Betzel take a look at it.
Senator Cohen then moves that Senate Bill 185 be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. Let me understand this. One of the issues that is clear to our committee is that we have done extensive work kind of to bring the communities together to have really a clear understanding of what we need to do with this group. And we are asking for these extensions so that we can now really do the work. Many of the members really have said that we will continue this work even if we don't get the funding to continue it. And so one thing that I wanted to make sure we do is that we extend the deadline so that we can work on the report and conduct some visits that we wanted to conduct with to some companies that employ a significant number of immigrants today. So, Mr. Chairman, my question to you and this committee would be if we could extend the deadline to 2011, even though the funding may not be available. I don't know if this is something that I will have to deal with in the finance anyway.
You can make that argument.
Okay.
Well, that's me to Don.
To Don Betzel.
Okay.
That's where that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Senator Treasury, if that is the route that you end up having to go, there might need to be some small language changes here.
Okay. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Senator Berglund.
Okay, so we have the Cohen motion before us. On the Cohen motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
Thank you, Mr.
Motion
Chairman.
With recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Okay, then we have one final bill, Senate File 1117. This is a proposal, I think you have a memo in your packet. This is a proposal that former Senate Judiciary Chair and President, is he President? And Senate President. Madam Chair.
Senator Paul Gamiller.
And the idea here is to kind of get us out of this situation, a number of legislative days where we can only meet certain days because we don't want to run out of legislative days. And what this would allow is for us to meet kind of for procedural stuff so without kicking in a legislative day by the Constitution. It says that it's only a legislative day if you give bills their first, second, or third reading. I'm going to propose we take out first, so you could have a day where you take bill introductions. And that would then basically say we're not kind of caught up here counting days. It may or may not be obvious. I think Senator Fredrickson knows this, but we basically keep a clock and a calendar, and every time we come in, if the House comes in, it's a legislative day. If the Senate comes in, it's a legislative day. And so we have to coordinate with the House. And sometimes they decide they're going to meet and use up one of our days. If we pass something like this, by law, every constitutional amendment, it would allow the Senate to proceed to take bill introductions or to process committee reports and to do things without ticking the clock for a legislative day. And it just seems like a kind of smart thing to do. And just allow a more orderly functioning of the bodies.
So, Mr. Chairman, in the rules that you just recommended to pass, you still, Madam Chair,
Sarah Olson,
Senator Program Miller,
just going to do everything.
It's the movement of the introduction. It's introduction and first reading of bills. It's as if that's one thing. So you know, if you had introduction and first reading is all one thing. So if you, would you need to separate that, or would we need to go back to rules and separate that if this became law and you want to separate those two things?
Sorry,
because you're saying that
I
if you...
I propose to take the word first out of there, and then I would defer to Senate Counsel to respond to your question.
Sorry,
Madam Madam Chair, Senator.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you take the first out of there, then it would be introduction and first reading. That wouldn't count.
That wouldn't count, okay.
And I'm assuming then that if the purpose is to process committee reports, we might then have a change in our procedure so that when a committee report is adopted that says that, and when so amended the bill do pass, okay, we adopt the committee report, but if this is not going to be a legislative day, then we wouldn't give it a second reading on that day. We would wait until the legislative day and do a bunch of second readings on that day of bills that had previously had their committee reports adopted.
Senator Fredrickson?
Madam Chair, Senator Polgemiller, if we take out first reading, that would mean early in the session when essentially all we do is introduce bills and do administrative things. It might be February before we use a legislative day.
Theoretically.
Senator Polgemiller?
Is that what you intend? That seems...
Until we actually... Madam Chair. Senator Fredrickson, it just seems that until you actually do some debate on a bill and try to pass a bill, that there's no reason to have a legislative day under the Constitution.
Madam Chair, Senator Polgemiller, it seems to me, though, once we have come into session, that the normal activities we do should take a legislative day. I can see later in the session.
Manager.
Senator Polgemiller.
Well, I think when we pass resolutions and things, that will tick a legislative day. When we do stuff between the House and the Senate, adopt rules, all of that will tick a legislative day, I think.
But this, Madam Chair, Senator Polgemiller, this says gives any bill a second or third reading. And a resolution would not be a bill.
Mr. Watson.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Well, we could put, Madam Chair.
Sorry,
I would have no trouble putting resolutions in. I mean, the intent really is just this introductions, and when we don't do anything on the floor, it just seems like we shouldn't take legislative.
Mr. Chair, when we introduce resolutions, usually they're acted on right then, or sent to rules, or what's the action? That isn't this.
Madam Chair.
Sorry, Bob.
Madam Chair. We never vote on most of them, mm-hmm. But joint things with the House we would vote on.
So Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Senator Polgemiller, are you disconnecting the requirement of House and either House or Senate doing that? I mean, if you wanted to meet on a different day than they did, both of you could trigger a legislative day.
Senator Polgemiller?
Yes. But assuming the House would have to pass this also, if neither of us did anything but take bill introductions or something, then that would not trigger a legislative day. But if one body did pass a bill, I believe that would still trigger a legislative day.
Senator Polgemiller does still have the word either in there.
Madam Chair, so I would move to delete the word on line 19, first comma. And delete the comma after second also. And then after the word reading, before the word period, or adopts a resolution.
So I understand the amendment. All in favor of the Polgemiller amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, I would move that Senate Bill 1117 as amended be recommended to pass.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Okay. Hey, members, thank you so much. I think we're done for the day. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Weekend? What's that? Weekend?
Adjourned.
This is the time of year Doug likes saying, Friday means only two more work days till Monday.